Yeah, Jeff, have you stopped cheating your taxes?
Yep.
Good.
Random accusation.
Yeah, right.
But
you had somebody beforehand that could help you cheat, but now that you're on your own,
I have to stop cheating.
No, you can still cheat. I mean, come on. We all cheat.
Come on.
Thing is, if you cheat in small increments, it's easy to get away with it. They're not looking for you. You got a small tax. We got small tax liabilities. They're not looking for us.
Oh, well. Then
millions of dollars that are.
So you mean
that,
one bag that I gave to Goodwill is okay to put worth $60,000 worth of clothes?
Hey, go ahead. I'm not your accountant.
That's Calvin Klein, bitch. Underwear.
High end.
That's right.
You've always been known to wear all the high end shit.
Right.
That's my friends.
Hey, at least you're not wearing holy pajamas like Damon's.
Right,
I know he couldn't get away with that.
What holy pajama did I have?
The ones you wore to the...
the ones you wore on the drive there and the drive back.
Oh, yeah.
Holy rusted metal, Batman.
Remember?
Scotty doesn't know that Fiona and me do it in my van every Sunday. She tells him she's in church, but she doesn't go. Still, she's on her knees, and Scotty doesn't know. Oh, Scotty doesn't know. So don't tell Scotty. Scotty doesn't know. Scotty doesn't know.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk tonight. Spent too many nights drunk over the Easter weekend. Tonight's a recovery night. Whew. All right, with the NFL draft on top of us and not much in the area of Saints news or NFL news, this week's episode is going to be slightly different than normal. I'm going to try to keep the show from completely falling off the rails. Already failed.
Good luck, buddy.
But for the most part, we're just going to meander from topic to topic as the conversation flows, ultimately resulting in an incoherent stream of consciousness that is the collective mind of the Dome Patrol podcast.
Back out, as is, of course, the tradition.
We'll include such categories as golf, thanks a lot to Jason, the Pelicans, woo-hoo! Maybe, since somebody tweeted this that they like listening to the Pelicans. A little bit of NFL, and who knows what other topics might creep in, like the death of country clubs in America. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy this show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with a three.
A three?
You know, three. Now that the draft is actually almost upon us, I'm actually getting a little tingle. For football, for a change. But I am also riding the wave that was the Masters that I went to last week. I'm currently drinking my drink out of a Masters cup. So, yeah, feeling good. And I'm getting ready to roll. You know, that NFL tingle has kind of been creeping up. Now that the draft is actually here and there's actually something to get excited about and talk about. So, I'm getting a little excited.
Okay. Damon, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Jeff. Like you said, it's going to be a different draft. I went ahead and made a 7-round mock draft for everybody, and we'll go through that.
Oh, excellent.
You actually did it for real.
No.
Well, I was going to say, now that it's the end of mock draft season is nigh.
It's nigh. Thank God for that. All right, so I'm not necessarily going to introduce a topic other than... I guess we should start Saints NFL as a leadoff, just simply because we're predominantly Saints and
we are NFL. An NFL podcast. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, look. I mean, here's something, and
yeah, we go ahead.
No, what are you gonna say?
Well, I was just gonna say we really not that we covered draft last episode, but are you really gonna have any further analysis that you have already not given?
Right, as much as we know about the draft, I mean, you know, again, I admitted last week. I mean, I can't name you more than three players, so I don't, you know.
Oh, but I don't, at this point, I mean, I don't think it's about naming players. It's like, you know, going into the draft, we have all these picks. What do you, you know, like, what kind of reaction now? I do think
defense. You know, I just want defense.
Right. So, no, I agree.
Defense.
You know, other than defense, there are still holes on this team, considering, you know, Butler is still a Patriot. So that hasn't happened. And I'm assuming that the night of the draft, we'll do some instant reaction recordings after the first pick and after the second pick. I mean, I'd kind of like to do that. It's kind of a tradition.
Well, the first pick is...
Is 11.
Is one, no, I'm sorry. The first pick is one day. The second pick is...
No. Our second pick is the end of round one. Round one is all 30.
That's true.
It's just going to be really... It's going to be really late. I mean, hell, I might be a... Depending on who our first pick was, I might be a freaking 13 by then. But considering
we
have...
Are you
planning
on getting overexcited for a guy that you have absolutely no idea if he'll actually be on the team in 2 years? 3 years?
Definitely 3 years. It's not a good chance to be here.
Hey, it's going to be a new Saint. I'm going to get excited for a new Saint. You know why? Because we've had 3 months of fake bullshit. Like, we're actually going to have new Saints. I'm going to get excited about that. I'm going to talk myself into fucking I love this guy. This guy's me fucking all pro. We're going to the Super Bowl. All this. Because that's what fans do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we do have a lot of early picks. We haven't made the Butler trade yet. So we still have all those picks. And there's holes to fill. So I, you know, clearly I want that first pick to be defensive end. We need a pass rush. But, you know, I like that we have the picks to play with. Now, the problem is we normally trade up. So do you think, what do you think we're going to trade up at some point in the first 2 days? Like, if you had to put it on a percentage that you think we'll make a trade up and grab a guy, because that tends to be our.
Yeah. Risk. God, I hope not. I mean, I would give it, I don't know, at least 50-50, you know. When don't we trade up to miss on a pick?
As is, of course, the tradition.
Trade up to miss. That is our forte.
Right.
But, you know, I'd like to get a pass rush. I'd like to get a cornerback. Butler is not a Saint. I mean, we need an offensive tackle because Shreve, I mean, we all thought Shreve every year for the last couple of years. We think, all right, this is Shreve's last stand, and he continues to stand. So we need an offensive tackle to replace him. And I do think we need to draft an offensive weapon somewhere in the first 2 days to replace some of the Cooks' production, whether it be receiver, scat back, you know, something. We do need something to help.
Yeah, that
you think Tommy Lee Lewis can cover for Brandon Cooks' absence?
If they were running 40-yard dashes, sure. He'd be right with him.
Well, he can't catch?
Nope. Thank you.
I don't know. What has he done? I mean, he hasn't done. He's run back a couple of kicks. That's about it. You know, you can't give up. I know the offense is hummed, and the offense should still be fine, but you can't give up Cooks and not bring up, you know, signs. Whether it's a receiver or a scat back or something, we definitely
tight
need.
End.
I mean, yeah, but I think I would place needs at other spots first. I mean, if they want to grab a tight end, you know, with round three or whatever, like a project.
Well, because you're going in with Kobe Fleener and Josh Hill, and based on last year's performance, Kobe Fleener is Midland.
He's definitely Midland. But I just think we need the other. I think we need defense, cornerback, and offensive tackle a little
bit. Maybe we actually have more needs than we realize, and it's. I mean, clearly defense is a more pressing need. Right, but
well, I mean, look, that's the reason why we're.
You want a receiver now. You want another running back, maybe. You want
a quarterback to replace Drew.
Quarterback to replace Drew. You need a receiver to replace Cooks now. The only thing you're not worried about is offensive line.
You said right.
No,
you
right.
Drew.
We need an offensive tackle to replace Drew.
Yeah.
I mean the. Unfortunately, there is no position that you know.
It's locked down.
Right, that I can say, oh, no, well, we're set there.
So then you take best available and you shut the fuck up about it whenever it happens.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to grab. Like, if we took, you know, I mean, I don't think Fournette's going to fall to 11, but if he did, I mean.
Yes, right, I agree with you.
I mean, that's a lot of talent, but fuck, what's that going to do for us? So we'll score 35 points, but still give up. 27 and still finish 8-8.
I'll score 35 and give up 27 every day.
That's not going to win you. I mean,
yeah. If I score 35 and only give up 27, that's not going to win me a Super Bowl.
Not when it matters in the playoffs.
Still 35-27.
Hey, I think that's what Atlanta did. What happened to Atlanta? I get it. We're not Atlanta.
And this isn't accounting, and he doesn't get it.
Look, I just know. Look.
Oh, no, he doesn't.
We've been the worst defense for the last 3 years. That needs to change. I'm sorry. That needs to change.
Yes, it does. Yes, but under your scenario, you're saying that we're going to score 35. Listen.
I know what you're saying, law of averages. I get it.
No.
But we're not going to score 35. That's right. We're not okay. So I overextended my offensive prowess. How about that? Okay. That's what I do with all the ladies. I overextend my offensive prowess.
All right.
So look, I mean, it has to be. Yeah, we have to go defense. We have to.
We have to improve on defense. Again, we've made
some tweaks here and there.
Right, in the coaching staff, you know.
I do think Mike Nolan is drastically going to improve our linebacking. Did you see Joe Vitt got a job at Miami?
Miami, sure, yeah. He's a consultant, his son-in-law, the head coach.
Yeah, he's now the consigliere on defense for the Dolphins.
Dad, come tell me what to do.
Good luck, Miami.
So, I mean, what do you think the reaction would be if we grab? I mean, if Fournette was there at 11 and we took him, all the fans would be happy because it's an LSU guy and whatever.
Correct. Yes. Yes, they would.
But what if he was gone and we're sitting there at 11, and you know, a couple of defensive ends are there. Barnett seems to be the pop, quote unquote, popular choice. Let's say he was there and we went with Christian McCaffrey instead, who I think would fit well in this offense, but doesn't really solve our problems. What kind of reaction do you think you get from the fan base? Is he going to be excited? Is he going to be pissed off? I know I'd be. I'd
be mad. I would definitely question the pick. Yes. I mean, we like you said, we need a pass rusher, we need a cornerback. Now again, maybe who knows what's going on with that freaking Butler deal? Like I said, maybe it's the night of the draft. They wait till Mickey Loomis seems to enjoy waiting to the deadline to make a move on anything, be it a contract or anything. So,
I'm kind of thinking nothing happens before the draft, and they'll have to work something out post-draft, and we give up, a next year's first, and if that's the case, like, freaking sign me up. Trade it, our next year's first-round pick from Malcolm Butler, sign me up.
Yeah, I'm there.
And that wouldn't prevent them from still taking a corner in the draft. I mean, take a defensive end, I don't think Tre'Davious White is going to be there at 32. It seems like he's kind of moving up. He's very talented. I'd love to have him, but I don't think he's going to be there at 32. And maybe that's where you see the Saints trade up, throwing a pick, move up, grab Tre'Davious White at like 24 or 3 or wherever. But I wouldn't be, we end up with Barnett and Tre'Davious White with our first two picks. I'd like it. I'd be pretty happy. And then, grab a receiver, a scat back later, grab an offensive tackle later.
Right.
I'd like it.
Well, they had even said Sean Payton likes the quarterback depth, or not quarterback, but running back depth, and that he might be more willing to pass up any of the running backs in the first round and pick up a running back in the second.
Or third or fourth?
In today's
NFL,
you don't need to get one of the top running back, but take a top talent somewhere else.
I mean, I do think Fournette is special, but I just think this team has so many other needs.
And the way Sean Payton uses running backs. Mm-hmm. Why would you take Fournette when he's only going to get 12 to 15 carries a game?
Yeah, and it's the same type of runner as Ingram.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, I don't think, as nice as it would be to have Fournette in the Saints jersey, I think he's gone before 11 anyway, but.
Yeah.
I don't see it. But, I mean, okay, well, how about this? If a defensive end, we take the defensive end at 11, if McCaffrey is still sitting there at 32, I wouldn't be upset with taking him there. As much as we need deep, I mean, we still have the 42nd, what do we have, 44th pick?
42nd.
42nd pick?
Yeah.
I'd be okay with, we get McCaffrey at 32, we can get a cornerback
right
at 42, I'd be happy. It's gonna be it's fun. The draft is finally almost here. We just have another week and a half. But I'm actually, you know, I like the fact that we have a bunch of picks in the first couple rounds for a change.
Right, but like you said, I mean, are we gonna package them up to move up?
You'll have to wait and see.
Right. I mean, no, you're right. The draft is very it's exciting. Football's here finally after.
It'll be here for 2 weeks, and then it'll go away for a while.
Right.
Not according to the news.
But I did watch. I did rewatch the Atlanta Super Bowl last week. I have it on my DVR.
Excellent. You watch it like I watch, like I used to watch the old the 06 game. I would watch that all the time.
I didn't watch that. It always makes me feel good.
Did you see? So today was the Boston Marathon. Did you see? Was a guy out there with a sign motivating the runners?
Brandon Guidry retweeted that to us too.
What was it? I'm missing.
The guy. So as the runners were nearing like the three quarters or halfway point, mid three quarters through the race, there was a guy out there with a sign that said, Atlanta 28, New England 3, with like 2 minutes left in the third.
It was the screenshot of the scoreboard or on TV, the little box.
Yeah, he printed it out and held it up.
It's the exact screenshot.
It's not over yet. Keep going. Funny. Yeah.
Again, like we said, the gift that keeps on giving. Like, what other ways can we find to enjoy it? Oh, here's another one.
Let's see if I can paste it in the screen for you.
Oh, it's great. It's great. So, yeah, after a nice, 2.5-3 months off of football, it's nice to get a little tingle back. When something's actually going to happen. Like, we're going to have new Saints in a week and a half. I'm excited for that.
There you go. And then after that, the ball does kind of roll a little bit faster because people are starting to work out. You're starting to get a nice little reaction to what they do.
Right. End of April, the draft. May, you have, there are mini camps.
Yeah, you have the rookie mini camp.
Right.
And signings,
Right, and then June everybody takes off, and then July, camp starts. So,
Get ready.
Yeah, folks.
It's like we're in line for a ride at Disney World, and we're about to turn one of the corners into the new room where you can get a whole. It's kind of you're like, hey, we're almost on the ride. You turn. Oh no, we still have.
Like, hey, we're still. Really like, hey, I'm distracted by this. Ooh, I'm distracted by this. Ooh, this is a different room. I can live with this.
Yeah. They're pumping in some good music.
Today was the first day of, the off-season workout. Quote-unquote mandatory off-season workouts. Guys are in the building. I mean, they're just lifting weights. I mean, they're not...
Right, they're not on the field, but...
So another thing Brandon Guidry tweeted, he said, hey, Saints fans, reality check. Saints are not going to get Butler, Sherman, or AP.
I don't really want to get Sherman because that's going to cost too much, and he's on the downside now. Like, he's 29-30-year-old cornerback.
Is he that old?
He's at least 29.
He was drafted in 2011.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure.
This will be his seventh year. He's probably 22, 23 when he was drafted, so yeah.
And he's going to demand top dollar. Like, it's not worth it. Sorry, it's not. I mean, he's a good player, but he's also, like we said, guys who left Seattle, like, the Seattle system has benefited a lot of guys. And Sherman's a good player, but... You bring him here and you pay him all that money. I don't think he's not going to be the same player he was. He's only going to get worse. But to me, it's not worth it. And apparently Seattle is is asking a lot for him. Hey, fuck that. Sorry. So I'd rather just go, if we get Butler, at least Butler's only 25, 26. I'd rather, pay him that money or just dicey as it can be, just draft young guys and bring them in and see what happens. But, I don't want Sherman. I mean, AP, I guess, could work situationally.
Yeah, considering that he's not on a team. Look, he will be on a team by the time the season starts. And I don't know what he's asking for. He visited the Saints and left without a contract.
Is it Patriots left without a contract? Right, me, that seems like the team he needs to go to, but he's probably, I'm assuming he's just expecting to be paid like he's been paid his whole career.
Yeah,
that's just not going to happen. But, a 30-year-old running back, you're not worth more than, $2 million, maybe.
All right, and what did he miss last year with an injury?
He got injured in week one or two.
Right, one or two last week. Right, and, you know, and
that's on top of missing a year being suspended.
Right, which was 3 years ago now. Didn't he come back from the suspension and have came back from the suspension and had a good year. Then last year he was.
He got hurt early,
and
he probably still could put up a good year.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be someone you'd want to take a chance. I'd love to take a chance on him, but not at, like you said, you know, not at $4 million a year. I don't think.
No, fuck that. Like that's not a need. We don't need that.
Right.
You know, we're paying Mark Ingram $4 million a year.
Right.
We don't need to pay Peterson $4 million a year either.
Right.
It'd be a nice backup.
Yeah, but as a nice change of pace back, I'd love to have Peterson. And then like they can get Butler. I think those,
right. The Peterson move would, if you didn't have to pay him the same price. But then again, he's not apparently a 30 carry a game running back anymore.
Well, no, I wouldn't
much.
I would,
but with him and Ingram splitting carries,
I think it would be good for this team. Sure,
certainly would. And he could last, both of them could last the whole season like that.
Yeah, it's just, he'd have to be willing to take a pay cut, apparently.
Right, right. I mean, as far as the Saints, I mean, yeah, we need to replace Hightower.
Yeah.
I don't know, what did Hightower get? He didn't even get 12 carries a game. That's Ingram. You know?
But Hightower did play special teams, and that's where Peterson wouldn't play special teams. That's to me where, we got to draft a running back that can play a little bit. Also play a little special teams. Now, we do have Lasko that's a special teams guy. Assuming he's going to play a lot. But, right, I mean, that's the thing with Pete. If you sign Peterson, he's not running. You wouldn't think he's going to
run
kicks and kick returns.
Well, so, nowadays, apparently they're probably going to be doing away with kick returns anyway. So you don't even have to worry about that. The way the NFL's going with the 25-yard line, touchbacks. And
the pussification of the NFL.
All right, we got another tweet over here from Davis Douglas saying, I enjoy listening to you guys in the off season to hear you complain about the media covering it.
So he enjoys our coverage about bitching about coverage?
Yeah.
Well, good, because, again, like I said, it's overkill. And a lot of that came from on my Twitter feed. It's just so much bullshit. I'm like, I'm sorry. This isn't fucking news. I don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. It doesn't matter. I'm not gonna wait. I'm just not gonna waste my time. I got enough. I need to worry about enough other things in my life to worry about fucking mock drafts on guys that aren't gonna be on somebody's visiting the Saints. Oh, woohoo!
Right.
Yeah, these fucking guys are gonna visit all these teams. I mean, it's not news.
Well, again, I think we covered it last week, but I said, all these, several dozen players that they're making so much noise about right now for the last 2 months. And right, they won't even be in the – half of them won't be in the NFL come August. You know, then half of that won't be in the NFL come next offseason. You know, I mean, it's very few guys –
yeah, that's the entire Saints draft class.
Right. And then, 3 years later, none of them will be in the NFL. You know, they'll all be doing something else. But yeah, it's a lot of hullabaloo. Again, we talked about it. You know, ESPN puts out an hour show every day of the NFL. You know, in fucking May, it's so different.
I saw it the other night. I was flipping through channels and I stopped on ESPN and they were doing like a mock war room, like what the draft would be like on draft night, and it was all fucking fake. They had like Todd McShay sitting at a desk on the phone. Like he was in a fucking draft room. I'm like
right,
really?
Right, we know how phones work. I mean, thanks.
I mean, jeez, but like Jesus Christ, this is what they've come to. They're mocking what the war room would look like.
They're mocking a mock draft. It's the inception of mock draft.
It's like this is what you're doing now. Like, just fucking stop it.
It's just sad. But that's what they got to do because they've got the pressure to – they got to put something on the air.
They got to fill – yeah, right. They got to fill air time.
And they're – yeah. It's just They've got a in a sense, you almost got to kind of wonder if it's not really their fault, is it? But that they're being forced to do the coverage because their bosses are saying, we're doing an hour a day on the NFL. And maybe they're even sitting like, what the fuck are we going to do for an hour a day at this time of year? They would never should have been doing this kind of shit.
No, but if it gets better ratings and if they put a baseball thing on, then or
basketball. I mean, that's something we missed, I guess, we could sit here and talk about. But how terrible, or let's look at the positive. How powerful is the NFL that, right,
the mock draft.
Well, mock war, right, the mock war room is brings in more ratings than Major League
Baseball coverage.
Right, you know, I mean...
In the middle of baseball season.
Right. Anything NFL just brings so much...
And that's why they do it. Right.
I mean, and honestly, the NFL is more fun.
Well, sure. I mean, sure. Well, it's a more exciting sport.
Watching paint dry is more fun than baseball.
Oh, come on. But I mean, like a baseball
maybe,
game.
Maybe they're equal.
But I mean, a baseball, other than opening day, like baseball in April, it's like, well, shit, that's another 150 games.
Right. Why does nothing
matter. You know, right. Why does this game matter?
Right. That's why I've always been a big football fan. You know, fan more so than, I mean, obviously we don't have a baseball team, so that, you know, I mean, like you, Jason. Right. I mean,
when you don't like the baby cakes?
You know, when I'd come home from school, it was always the Cubs on TV. But right, I mean, if you lose a game in baseball, if you who gives a shit?
Right, it's not the end of the day. I mean, look, right. the Cubs got swept by the Pirates. Fuck, that sucks, but they're 6-6. I mean, fuck, they're only 12 games into a 160-game season.
Right.
Not right. The end of the world.
Right. The NFL, every game fucking matters.
That's what it boils down to.
You lose that first game in September, that's going to come back and bite you in the ass.
Or you lose the first four, like the Saints, you're like, ooh.
Oh, that really hurts. That
stings.
All right. Then, speaking of back to football, you got Life of Tad tweeted to us. Nothing can lift me up when I'm down, quite like a notification that Junior Gallette got arrested. And I know it's a little old news for the people who are listening, but we haven't talked about this as a podcast, so let's have some fun at Junior Gallette's expense. Since he has posted his own little Instagram photos opening of the, or videos of him opening the Saints check, being paid not to play.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, that first check that he got from the Saints after we cut him and he was over in Washington.
But that was last year.
That was 2 years ago.
Years ago, and that was pre-arrest. Yeah. But anyway, he's technically called, Redskins defensive end. He's blown out two Achilles. He hadn't played a down for the Redskins yet.
Right, never played one down.
He's being paid by two football teams to not play.
Well, he's not being paid by us anymore.
Well, he was.
But again, like, how fucking dumb do you have to be to keep doing this shit? You already got busted on a beach whipping a belt. You're going to do the same fucking bullshit.
Done.
And now, well, he upgraded. He went from a belt to getting tased.
Right. Well, I mean, I'll get into him being arrested in a second. But look, the second he signed that big contract, the $48 million contract, in his head, that was it. He was done. He did what he had to do to get paid. I'm sure he was an ass before, but after that big contract, he just become insufferable. Right. Fuck Mickey Loomis for fucking signing that ignorant cocksucker.
Yeah, should have known.
Big fucking deal. But right, he hasn't done anything for the Redskins, and he's not going to do anything for the Redskins. I mean,
he's two torn Achilles. That's why he couldn't run away from the cops.
Right. I know that there was a fight, and he got tased. That's all I know.
It was a fight. Like, he punched somebody and then, like, tried to run away.
Right.
And it, because of his torn ACL, his Achilles, he didn't – the cops caught him and tased him.
Right.
You know, it's bad when cops catch an NFL defensive end. That's not supposed to happen.
But, yeah, he's a jackass. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Definitely glad he's somebody else's problem. I mean, but his contract and is really a...
That was your boy, Jeff. That was your boy.
He really was.
How many times did you say, you're my boy, Junior?
I did. I am ashamed.
You bought his You bought his jersey.
I did.
You bought his jersey. Where is it hanging up?
No, I have it, right? I threw it away.
That was in his bag to Goodwill. So
that was it. My $60,000
worth is $0. You get no tax deduction for that.
I got it because I donated it before he got arrested.
I feel like you should have done some kind of like ritual and put it on a fire and videoed it.
Burned it.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe we need to burn your jersey, Jeff.
Shit, I know, right?
That would be fun.
Ever since Jeff bought jerseys, we've kind of sucked.
Yeah.
That's why I quit buying them.
Yeah, but we need to have some kind of like exorcism. Maybe sometime this summer during training camp or something, we come down here, we do a live podcast tating at the bar, we go out in the back. I have the little fire pit in the back. Your Sharper jersey.
What are you doing with them? Yeah, we need to do that. That'd be funny.
I might have already gotten rid of them by now. I don't know. So, yeah, that's what I got there. Jason?
Yeah?
Go ahead and tell us about the Masters.
So the Masters was fucking awesome.
Well, that was fun. Now,
Damon.
Right. Moving along. Final thought. Look, I know y'all aren't golf fans, but man, that place. I mean, you know, I mean, this is the Masters is the holy grail of places to go to, sporting events to go to. I mean, it's, you know, we flew into Atlanta. We drove 2 hours. With Augusta is 2 hours east from Atlanta. It's right along the Georgia South Carolina border. But you know, got there the next morning, went in, and there's an unwritten rule: you go down, you place a chair at like 8 o'clock in the morning when the gates open, and then you can leave it and walk around, and nobody takes your chair. It's like an unwritten kind of rule. So we got there early, put our chairs down, went and grabbed our merchandise, came back. But the place is immaculate. It's kind of like, and you mentioned Disney World earlier, it's kind of like Disney World out on just a golf course. Everything's immaculate. The grass was so perfect, it didn't look like it looked fake. Everything looked fake. The bathrooms, there were attendants directing traffic in the bathrooms.
Like pointing you traffic where to go if you needed to go. Number one or number two?
Right, when you're waiting, if there's an open stall, you know, they point you to open places, but if, you know, open urinal, but if you go into a stall, in between people going into the stall, there's an attendant in there. The second somebody walks out, a guy goes in, sprays the toilet, wipes it down before everybody going in. It's like, what the fuck?
Wow.
It's crazy. I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
That's what happens when there's too much money involved.
Well, look, supposedly they make $40-something million every year on just merchandise sales.
Damn.
Well, because look, I mean, I may never get back to the Masters in my life ever. The Masters is the holy grail of A, golf, and B, even sporting events. Like going to the Masters is like a top five sporting event with like Super Bowl, even more exclusive to World Series because it's so hard to get a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
We got them through a broker who was in Augusta, but like my dad, he had to sign a contract when he agreed to get the tickets. If the badges are for
how long in advance? Was it like a year in advance or?
No, just maybe 2 months. I think he got them, but they give out badges, and badges are good for a whole week. But what they're kind of like passed down through families there. So families will sell their badge to like a broker, and they'll separate it and sell a day here, a day there, or sell multiple days. But we just bought a day. But they can charge. I mean, the guy said like, yeah, people pay for their kids to go to college with several Masters tickets just because of the way it's kind of like grandfathered in and who has access to an actual badge. But so the badge is good for a week. We just got it for a day. So we got in at 6 o'clock in the morning, picked up our badges. He had to sign a contract that, you know, like you pick up the badge here, you go to the tournament. At the end of the day, you bring it back. You have to give them the badge back. And if you don't, like if you don't give them the badge back that day, the contract stipulates that there's a 10-year penalty. You have to pay $13,000 a year for 10 years if you don't bring the badge back.
Damn.
Because I guess it's like the worth of of the ticket. So it is kind of, it's kind of a dull thing. You go there in the morning, you grab your ticket, like, holy shit, I got to protect this with my life. If I don't come back, you know, it's all this money that's owed. But, you know, we were civilized enough and whatever. But, you know, you get there in the morning, set up, went to the merchandise tent early on, got all our stuff, and got, it's just so well run. We bought all our merchandise, and they said the average first timer spends $800 in just in merchandise.
Damn.
I spent $1,100. Now I was buying for, but I was buying for like seven people. But I spent $1,100.
Well, that's probably why the average is $800 for anybody, right, because they're probably like, hey, buying for everybody. They know.
Shirt, can you give me a hat? But you know, you pay for everything. Hats, signs, cups. I mean,
You got a cup or a glass or something.
Well, they serve beer in plastic Master's cups, like I'm drinking out of now. So that's actually kind of like a cheap souvenir, but. Like peanut butter coffee mug, a hat, a shirt, a sign, koozies, ball markers. I just wanted shit with Masters logos.
Underwear, socks,
but t-shirt, like,
toilet paper, lunchbox, thermos.
Condoms. Don't forget the condoms.
He's fucking 5 years old. I put a fucking condom on your fucking tombstone.
But you know, you buy your merchandise and you walk out, and you don't want to carry it around all day, so there's a, you know, attached to the shop, there's a spot where you can either get it shipped home through. You can just go up and say, "I'm going to get it shipped home."
You know what I'm picturing? That everywhere you went, it's like Mr. Deeds' butler.
I mean, it pretty much is. I mean, the place was just immaculate and perfect. But you walk out, you can go ship it home, or you can go store it and then pick it up on your way out. So that's what we did. So then we went and we just walked around, and on the course itself, because it costs so much to get there, the food and drinks are cheap. I mean, light beers were $4, imports and crafts were $5, egg salad sandwiches were $1.50, chicken sandwiches were $2.50, $3, but it was fun to watch. And
how
you
much
don't
was the egg salad sandwich?
$1.50.
Oh, that's cheap.
It's just egg salad on two pieces of white bread, and they serve it in these little green bags that say Masters on it. And
oh,
but even, you know, concession, you walk into the concession stand and like, holy shit, the line is really long. It doesn't matter. Like, you walk through and you're out of there in like 3 minutes. It's so efficient. I mean, they have this down to a science. They really do.
Well,
but the you know, undulations on the course that you can't see on TV. But my legs were sore for 2 days after walking the course because it's just hilly, up and down, up and down. But we walked for the first, I don't know, maybe 3-4 hours, just kind of walked different holes, just kind of soaking in everything because it's a fucking Masters. It's the pinnacle of, you know, one of the pinnacle places of sports. And then there's a place you can walk around and take your picture in front of the clubhouse. So we walked around and waited in line, and I got a picture with my dad and my brother from the clubhouse. And then we walked back, and just the place is just a night. Like, nothing is out of place. Like, all the pine trees, all the straw. There's no pine cones sitting on the ground. I mean, everything's just so perfect, so manicured. And it was just – I still can't believe that I was able to go to the Masters. I just still can't. Can't believe it. The last 3 hours, chairs that we put down at 8 o'clock, at about like 2 o'clock, we went back to that spot. Our chairs were empty because nobody sits in your chairs. So we just went back to our chairs and we just sat there and watched all the groups on the par three coming in. And we got to see all the top golfers except for Tiger, who's fucking hurt.
Well, Tiger's not the top golfer anymore.
No, he's not. You're right, he's not. But I mean, you know, it was wild. Like, coming in the morning, you know, we got dropped off by the, and there was another thing we were thinking, yeah, we'll pick up the tickets and we'll drive over and park. Like, no, because the people who we got our tickets from, like, they're so protective of the tickets and can't lose them. We had to ride, like, they provide a shuttle to and from the course. Like, we had to ride with them, so they do that so they ensure that people, you don't just go to the tournament, get drunk, and just forget, oh shit, I gotta go turn back in my ticket. Like, you have to take the shuttle back to get back. So we took the shuttle back. I'm like, yeah, the course is just over there, go walk. And just, it's so secluded in the hills with all the pine trees. Like, it's just so, it's so separate from the rest of the world. But the way the course is laid out, like, it's more open than I thought it would be. Like, it's more like Riverlands compared to Belterre, where holes are next to each other. And that's right. Why you can hear roars over the course, because like, you stand up by the clubhouse and look down, and you could see like eight or nine different holes scattered throughout. I just didn't expect it to be as open as it kind of was. but it's just, it was a perfect day, perfect weather.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's only been within the last, I don't know, 10 to 15 years now, where they show the front
nine. Right, where they even show the front nine, yeah.
Right, right. For years and years, all they would ever show was the back nine.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't, on television, you know, I mean, they're so exclusive, and they, you know, are steeped in such tradition.
And that's where, like, my dad really wanted to see, like, the back nine amen corner. So early in the day, because they kind of just roll out the tee times, there was nobody playing the back. So we kind of saw a couple of the front holes. But midway through the day, like, we went to the clubhouse. They did a little more shopping. And then we saw a group play down 10, like Rory McIlroy. We watched him play down 10. And then we just followed 11, 12, and 13. And we kind of stayed behind the tee box on 12 for a while. And that's where it turns out we had another funny story. At the end of the day, you know, we go to leave because there's two entrances. There's the main entrance in the front, and there's a back entrance where we went in, which is by, like, where the 16 is, that short little par 3, and you got the par 5 in front of it. That's where we wanted to watch. That's where we wanted to set our chairs, so we went to the back entrance. So we left, you know, after the final groups came through 16, we went to go leave. We picked up our merchandise, and we come out, and my dad puts his bag down on a bench, and he starts digging through it. I'm like, what's going on? She's like, can't find the car key. So I'm like, oh shit, okay. Wow. This is after, like, one of the best days ever. We go back, he's digging through all his bags of stuff. He can't find his key. And then eventually he's like, yeah, I lost the car key. I'm like, oh my God. like, holy shit. What are we going to do? Because we rented the car in Atlanta. We're 2 hours east of Atlanta. We got to fly back the next day. Like, okay, well, maybe you, like, did you have it here? Did you leave it in the car coming over to the course? Did you have it in your, because he didn't put it in, he was wearing a jacket, and behind the 12th green, as it got warmer that day, he took off his jacket. So he thinks he had him in, like, a little jacket pocket, and when he took it off, they came out. So I'm like, oh, crap. So he checks the lost and found back by our entrance, nothing there. And we're like, oh, man, well, like, what are we going to do tomorrow? Like, and they didn't let you bring phones in, so all of our phones are stuck in the car back at the place where we picked up the tickets. So, like, we have no way to call anybody. We have no way to do anything. We're like, oh, my God, what's going to happen? So we walk out. It's a long walkway, and we see this lady in the car. It's like, hey, look, there's a lost and found here. Is there a lost and found by the main entrance? He said, yeah. So my dad hitched a ride and a lady in a cart. So we're standing there literally for, like, 15 or 20 minutes, and we're like, man, he should have been back by now. Like, what happened? And he took the cart there, and I just assumed he would take a cart back. But all of a sudden, we look over, and we see him walking down the hill. And eventually, he's walking back, and by the time he sees us, we're like, oh, man, what, like, we're just, oh, God, did he find it? Did he not? And he's walking back, and he just goes thumbs up, and we're like, oh, God, it was the biggest fucking sigh of relief that he found the keys. Luckily, our crisis was averted, and we were just like, whew, thank God. Other than that, it was fantastic. I mean, the Masters.
That was perhaps the longest, most anticlimactic story you've ever told.
But I mean, think about it. For a half hour.
For a half hour, you talk about missing the key.
Right.
I'm waiting for, like, the punchline night, and it's more of the story is the one guy that worked in the bathroom was stole the key from.
But look, you gotta think of how we're feeling. Like, this was the greatest day ever, and to suddenly be like, holy shit, we don't have a rental car key, we don't have our phones, they're in the car, what do we do? But that 20 minutes, it was just like, ugh.
The story was 20 minutes long, for Christ's sake. I mean,
that's how nervous I was. I mean, shit.
I mean, oh, we thought we lost our key, but we found it.
Still, in that 30 minutes that it was off, like, you don't know what we went through.
Do you watch Modern Family?
Where
he was telling Gloria how to tell a story.
Yeah.
Hey, fuck you, buddy.
That would have been.
But like,
well,
this
again,
place.
You weren't in Syria. Place, you know, yeah. you were at Augusta. You were fine. Someone was going to take place. Care. Right. You know. I mean,
they would have drove you back in a golf cart.
Right.
But I mean,
you had your wallets. You had your credit cards. You know. I mean,
when you don't have your phone and you don't know how you're gonna get your phone back, it's.
The phone
it's a little
part
dicey
is probably worse than the key part.
20 years ago, you wouldn't even have had a phone, so, you know.
Right, but we're not 20 years ago. We're in 2017.
Right, yeah, but no, I'm telling you can survive, you know.
I think the moral of that story is that's how old we've gotten to where the most interesting story is I lost the keys and I found them. rather than how drunk you got and embarrassed yourself on the green.
Well, and that was another thing too. Like, I mean, because you get the beers and the soft drinks, and they serve them in these cups, and that's like a cheapest souvenir you can get. So, like, I want to accumulate as many cups as I can, but I don't want to get hammered at 12 because I don't want to do something stupid, get banned, and I wanted to enjoy my day. You know, that was a thing, like having to kind of control myself, because Christian drank 8 beers by like 2 o'clock. He got back to the chair and I came back and jumped down to the seat, and I was talking to him, and he's wearing his sunglasses and he's just kind of dozing. I'm like, oh, you're sleeping, right? He's like, yeah. That place, man, that place is something else.
All right, so then that ate up all the time we have. I'm going to go a quick final thoughts there. Damon, you get to do the first final thought today.
Why that? Because
Jason just talked about the Masters for 15 minutes.
Well, look, it is the fucking Masters. I mean, shit.
just spacing it out a little bit. Just he doesn't have anything.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta wake up from.
You know what I'm gonna do? Because you're not gonna have any other final thought either, right, Jason?
Let me do mine, and then when I'm done, Damon can come back with his final thought.
All right, what's your final thought?
Final thought is, so on top of the NFL draft next week, we've got the Zurich Classic, sticking with golf.
What do 17 major championships, over $6 million in prize money, and complete domination of the sport of golf have in common? Two things: the champion and Aerofly balls.
Aerofly balls. They just seem to go further.
If it's good enough for the champion, don't you think it's good enough for you?
Here's the big thing about the Zurich. They switched to a team format. Guys get to partner with each other and play two-man teams. This is the only PGA tournament, you know, sanctioned that is a two-man team event. And because of that, we've got a ton of guys to commit. This is the strongest field that I think the Zurich has ever had. Because of this team format. We got 7 guys.
You know what else is a good thing about having the 2-player teams is it's less likely that they'll lose their keys. Because they can help each
carpooling.
Other. That's right.
They can take the carpool lane. But we've got seven of the top 10 in the world are playing this week. This is the best field we've ever had. So there's a lot of buzz and excitement on top of the strong field, because this is the only PGA event to have a team format. People are actually talking about the tournament down here. So
that's pretty good. That is pretty cool. Wow. That's nice. Because the Zurich or the New Orleans tournament has always been a very second.
It's been kind of like meh.
Tell me if I'm wrong, Jason, but it's either been before the Masters or right after the Masters.
Yeah, for a long time it was right before the Masters.
Right, and then they switched it, I don't know, again, 10 years ago to right after the Masters. But either way, it's a shitty...
It was a bad spot. It was kind of stuck between the Masters and the Players' Championship, which it still is stuck there, but it's kind of like been spaced out a little bit. But because of the team format, there's a lot of excitement and intrigue. And we've got so many top golfers playing here. And people are actually talking about the tournament. Instead of being just another run-of-the-mill, we got a tournament this week. I think it's the best thing that's ever happened to this tournament, and I'm excited to see how it's going to play out.
That would be nice. It'd be unique and, maybe draw some extra interest. Like,
it's very New Orleans to do something, to be unique and do something like that.
Right.
That's
good, yeah.
And it's always been a shame because, I mean, you know, we put on a good tournament for the players. We have the best food. We always put on a good party. Freaking Jazz Fest is that weekend. So we've always done well by the players, but just because of the timing of the schedule, or nobody's like, it's just another tournament I'm not going to play. But because of the whole team format, guys are really want to team up with another guy and beat the rest of the everybody else.
It is probably the smartest decision they could have made.
Well, you said, make it a little unique, you know, put something a little different spin on it.
Yep.
I like that.
Now it's a specialty event.
Yeah, look, we're lucky that we got to be the ones to do this format. We really are, because otherwise it'd just be we'll get a couple of good guys, but it's just a normal tournament.
Right.
Now it's gonna be fun.
All right, Damon, do you have a final thought yet? If not, I'll give
it to you. Yeah, well, you know, the NBA, well, at least the Pelicans NBA season is over.
Yeah.
It couldn't have come soon enough.
It does kind of feel nice that I have to worry about, I got how many games this week?
Right. I am calling for Gentry's
time of death.
No, I haven't read anywhere where there's talk of firing him. But my goodness, the Pelicans, you know, after this season, I mean, it has to be clear. Now, look, this is Gentry's war. This is only his first year. This is first
second year.
Second year. So I hope, I don't know, Mr. Benson or Mickey Loomis or whoever fucking makes these decisions over there. You know, because it's a crying shame that we have a basketball team with what seems like talent to me. So, again, I don't know if Gentry's on the hot seat. I mean,
I would think he would, but it doesn't seem like it. But maybe that's right. But maybe that's, look, Loomis is worried about the draft next week. He didn't give a fuck about the Pelicans.
Just wait, yeah.
Well, again, I don't think that he's running the Pelican.
He's not, but right. I think decisions have to go through him, though, right?
Yeah, but that's not even anything that – so you're focused on the draft. All it really takes is somebody to pop their head in your – they don't even have to come all the way in the office. They pop their head. Hey, you okay with firing this guy? Yeah. All right, thanks. That's a text on the way to work. I mean, if Damon's coming to the conclusion, I think that –
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they showed at one of the last games we went to, Benson was in the suite and they showed him and he waved and fucking licked his lips. And I'm like, man, he really doesn't look good at all.
No. Well, he always licks his lips. I mean, that's just.
No, but I mean, he looked like he's waving his. I mean, he looked.
He's Stan Marsh's like, grandpa.
It's just he is. It's almost like they shouldn't even show him anymore. He looked awful, man.
Yeah.
He really did.
He really looked like he was. Or he was the old grandpa that's just doesn't know.
Well, Dan Rooney
exactly
Dan
what's going
Rooney
on.
Died this week, last week.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Senior. Yeah.
And Dan Rooney was 7 years younger than Benson.
Benson's
really,
old,
he was like.
Yeah,
18?
he was like 84. Yeah.
Right.
And Benson's 90, 91.
Crazy. I really got a 91-year-old owner.
I mean, I kind of wish they wouldn't keep showing him because he just even like but, a guy, buddy of mine was sitting in front of me and after they showed him, I'm like, man. That didn't look good.
And they bought Cadillac in New Orleans, didn't they, just recently, too? Benson?
Gail likes Cadillac.
Hey!
Oh. Is it not called Benson Cadillac, or is it still...
I'm sure it will be.
I'm sure it will be. But, man, he just looks like... I don't know. I mean, maybe his mind is still sharp, and maybe he still knows what's going on.
I mean,
it didn't look good, and that's... You know, I mean, I'm kind of with you. Like, I'm over Gentry. I don't think he should be the coach, but I think, you know, in the organization, obviously they're not in a rush. They're, you know, the draft is coming up next week. That's kind of a priority for everybody. And I don't know that that's a good thing. I mean, Orlando already fired their GM. The season ended. They fired their GM.
The leader, Benson was always the true leader. The leader is absent. There's no leadership left. And no, but even that's not enough. Like there needs to, like Vince, like Damon, you've said all along, Benson was always a guy that was nothing happens until I say it happens. I don't care which position it is. At the end of the day, it's my fucking money. I'm the final decision maker. I'm the leader. We haven't had that. And since he started on the decline that people have said, whether we know it or not to be true, There is a correlation between when it started to manifest itself and the organizational, I don't want to say chaos, that's too strong a word, but you know what I mean, dysfunction.
Dysfunction, yeah, there's dysfunction.
Started on both teams. And no one, with no one to hold any of these guys accountable, it's just everybody's just kind of getting away with mediocrity.
With
not being accountable for anything. And when you have that kind of a situation, then nothing but dysfunction can exist.
Yeah, it's like, and again, I think I mentioned before about that book I'd read about Benson a couple, you know, months ago now. And in reading that book, you really get, at least for me, understand that his management style. And again, I believe he runs everything like he ran his dealerships, and being fired, and I know people who work in car dealerships, and look, and they keep those people on their toes. It seems like a miserable fucking existence to
it's
me.
Performance based
to most people, yeah, but it is get it done or you're gone. And you're right. Now that you know, he's Mr. Benson has gotten
the only thing, the only person that we can that doesn't make, fall into this category of get done and you're going in Benson's characteristic. There's two guys in the history of the Saints that I can point to. One is Bill Kaharick, and two is Jim Haslett, right? Or
well,
maybe you can write off a little Jim Haslett because he won the playoff game, but they were mediocre for far too long.
Sure.
Yeah, it took Katrina 3-13 to finally.
Right. And that's all.
But other than that,
was mediocre. And look, Kuharik got fired, but he's, you know, Benson is a loyal man also, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But Kuharik got fired within 3 years of.
Okay, it just felt longer, I guess.
No, sure, but no, but, and it's. Right now, again, he's this, I don't know. I mean, the team, obviously, I believe is, I don't know the number, but I'm sure the team is in very, very fine financial shape. Hell, we sell out the season, you know, before, you know, in season tickets alone. And listening to radio interviews and stuff with Benson TV, you know, he loves Mickey Loomis. Mickey Loomis is his guy. Mickey Loomis isn't going anywhere.
Right. And Mickey knows that, and so therefore Mickey gets away with.
But you know, I think the consensus between the three of us, you know, I think a lot of problems we have now are because of Mickey Loomis.
100%. I mean, look.
Shitty without, contracts, again, you yeah. know. And,
I mean, without Drew Brees, fuck it. Right. We are bottom of the barrel.
That's my point, is Mickey's taking advantage of the trust and loyalty that's being given to him by not holding himself to the high standards and by not being accountable.
I think he's an incompetent.
Yeah, look, he's made all these bad. I mean, he made some good. Look, we had the 06 draft and we signed Drew Brees. That's where we got our success from. And other than that, he has been shit. And he hasn't had to pay for his mistakes. I mean, think about it. We were primed for a dynasty. And we've been nothing but mediocre since 2012, other than the 13 year where we made the playoffs. Other than that, all these bad contracts, bad draft picks, that all falls on Mickey. He, in a normal situation, he would have been fired.
Right.
And he's not. Not only is he not fired, I mean,
he's given the keys to the kingdom.
You know, Dell, as the GM of the Pelicans, makes the decisions, but he still has to run it through Mickey to get the Tom. That's not good. He hasn't done well enough to earn that.
No. All right. Well, I don't know what to tell you. It's what's going to be. And that should give you at least enough excitement and encouragement going into the draft.
Woohoo! I'm excited.
How's that tingle now?
Hey, it's real Saints happenings. I still got the tingle.
All right.
Mickey is not going to dampen my tingle.
Then that's all the tingle we've got for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. If you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, tingles.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.
Suck it in, suck it in, suck it in. If you're into Tin or Amberlin, make it a spin move or else you'll win. And then begin to see what you're doing to me. This MTV is not for free. It's OPC, it's killing me. So desperately I'll sing to the other.